translation. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one dissolves his entanglement in material activities. After this, one becomes very much attracted to Krishna, and thus dormant love for Krishna is awakened. So the next verse, I will just say myself. Akritsti krita chetasam sumanasam uchatam nan chamhasam achchandhalam amukaloka sulabho vash yash cha mukti shriyaha. No diksham na chat. Can you understand? No diksha. No diksha is required. Anchandalam, the dog eaters, dog cookers. Na chat sat kriyam, nor six activities. Na cha purushcharyam, manag ikshate, mantroyam, rasana sprigeva, padati sri krishna nam makaha. Translation, the holy name of Lord Krishna is an attractive feature for many saintly liberal people. It is the annihilator of all sinful reactions and is so powerful that save for the dumb who cannot chant it, it is readily available to everyone, including the lowest type of man, the chandala. The holy name of Krishna is the controller of the opulence of liberation, and it is identical with Krishna. When a person simply chants the holy name with his tongue, immediate effects are produced. Chanting the holy name does not depend on initiation, pious activities, or the purushcharya regulative principles generally observed before initiation. The holy name does not wait for any of these activities. It is self-sufficient. Purport. This verse is found in the Padyavali 29, an anthology of verses compiled by Srila Rupa Goswami. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. So there are many, many verses and purports in which the holy name is glorified. Constantly, again and again, we hear it over and over again. We also hear about the importance of chanting. We hear about the 10 offenses. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, one of the offenses is to blaspheme the Vedic literature. And he explained why. He said, because the purport of the Vedic literature is to chant the holy name. So if you blaspheme the Vedic literature, you're actually blaspheming the holy name. And the last verse of Bhagavatam is about chanting. Did you know that? It ends. Whole Bhagavatam ends with a verse about chanting. And of course, we know chanting is important because Prabhupada asked us, at least those who want to be initiated, to chant 16 rounds. So we've heard it. We know it. We've been overdosed in classes and books about the importance of the holy name. Yes? Yeah. And how's our chanting going? Okay, we're going to do a little experiment, but you have to close your eyes to do this because if you open them, somebody's going to get embarrassed. So just close your eyes. And we're going to do a little, we have a question for you. How has your chanting been on a scale of 1 to 10? 10 is you faint in ecstasy and cry and bang your head on the ground. And 1 is you pick up your bead bag, chant a few mantras and put it down. And 5 is average, not good, not bad. So close your eyes because I'm going to ask you to raise your hand. I don't want anyone to see you, okay? So I know no one's at a 10 or a 9 because that's pretty elevated. So please close your eyes. Raise your hand if you're at an 8. Raise your hand if you're at a 7. Raise your hand if you're at a 6. Raise your hand if you're at a 5. Raise your hand if you're at a 4. Raise your hand if you're at a 3. Raise your hand if you're at a 2. Raise your hand if you're at a 1. Raise your hand if you don't know where you're at. Okay.
All right.
Well, okay, you can open your eyes. Yeah. So this is the, in case you haven't noticed, this is the Hare Krishna movement, right? Sometimes you think it's the prasadam eating movement, but it's more people eating prasadam than chanting Hare Krishna. But it is the Hare Krishna movement. So just from a very objective level, one would think that because this is the Hare Krishna movement and chanting Hare Krishna is the Yuga Dharma and it is the most important activity, that we would all be at like 6 or 7 and coming on 8. One would think. Wouldn't one? Wouldn't that make sense? You know, like, because if you're average, you know, when you do something average, you get average results. And we don't want average results. When you do something well, you get good results. So we want to be above average. And definitely we don't want to be below average. But unfortunately, some of us are below average. And that's like red flags, alarms. If you're below average, it's not good. So isn't that interesting that we have so many verses and purports about the importance of the holy name that one would consider, how could any of us be below 6? It just would be impossible. But it's very possible, isn't it? Right? So last night we're having a little class, and I was saying that the reason this happens is Maya, one of Maya's main duties is to mess up your japa. That's like one of her first, Krishna says, go to the manor and mess up their japa. Yeah, like, have you noticed? Maya's good at messing up your japa. Yeah, right. So I always think if Krishna said, today you're going to be Maya, keep all the devotees in Maya, I would come during japa and distract you all. And I would whisper in your ear, you don't really want to chant, do you? This is like really boring, isn't it, right? Why don't you check your phone? And you're probably hungry, you know? And yeah, maybe you need to take a nap now. You look tired. That's what I would do, yeah. And so if that ever happens to you, you know who's behind it. So now let's consider the significance of initiation. What happens at initiation? Well, what happens is Prabhupada wanted us to discuss the 10 offenses, right? At initiation ceremonies. First initiation, you're going to chant the Hare Krishna mantra. You're vowing to chant. So, okay, if you're vowing to chant, you should chant well, because last night we made a discovery. Would you like to hear? It's very interesting. We did a calculation. If you chant for 40 years, that means if you came to the movement at the age of 35 and you left your body at 75, how many mantras do you think you would chant in those 40 years? Anyone want to guess? Just approximate. Yeah, well, it's 25 million. But I'm on my 56th year, so I'm like at whatever, 40, you know, on my way to 40 million, right? So that's a lot of mantras to mess up, isn't it? Like, you know, I have 40 million pounds, but it's all counterfeit. So it doesn't do me much good, right? I have 40,000 iPhones and none of them work. Yeah, so the quantity, sometimes we ask, is quantity better or quality better? Well, we say generally, if you have 40,000 iPhones, it's good if they all work. So, you know, they have to work. One working iPhone is better than 40 million that don't work, but better 40 million that do work. So this is just something to consider. If I am going to chant 25 or more million Hare Krishna mantras in my lifetime, it would really help if I did it well, don't you think? Just saying, as we say in America, just saying. And 25 million bad mantras would really be a waste of your mantras, wouldn't it? You know, it's like something to think about. Now, I think everyone in this room knows the difference between good japa and bad japa. If you don't know the difference, raise your hand. Okay. You're new, right? You will know the difference. Bad japa you can do, no problem. Good japa takes effort. So once you chant some good rounds, you'll know the difference. You'll experience the difference. So here's something really important to understand. This is Age of Kali. In the Age of Kali, spiritually, we are pretty handicapped. Well, I wouldn't say pretty. We are extremely handicapped spiritually. So by our own efforts in the Age of Kali, we can't go that far because we're not that strong. Right? Like, I think everyone who's come to this movement tried to become spiritually advanced on their own. And it's like it wasn't working so well. Otherwise, they wouldn't have come here. And when they started chanting, it was like, whoa, I just got off the escalator and now I'm on the elevator. Isn't it? Something like that. Like this mantra is like, wow. It's doing things that it's elevating me in ways that I could not elevate myself. That's the power of the Maha Mantra. It will take you to levels of spiritual advancement you could never get on your own. It's like the elevator, you know, it's 10,000 flights of stairs. You can't climb it. You'll die before you get to the top. Take the elevator. Just sit in the elevator. Don't jump out of the elevator and just stay there, you know, about 2 hours in the elevator, and you'll get to the top. And so if we chant well, then we will be elevated by the power of the Maha Mantra far beyond anything we could do on our own. So that's pretty important to realize, isn't it? In Kali Yuga, the cards are stacked against us. But Mahaprabhu said, okay, the cards are stacked against you, so we have to do something to make this work. Otherwise, none of you will get liberated. Okay, so Mahaprabhu says, okay, this is what we're going to do. We're gonna douse the Maha Mantra with special ingredients that were never put in it before. So that in Kali Yuga, when you chant the Maha Mantra, it's going to take you further up than it did in other ages. And it's the same mantra, and you're chanting, you're doing the same chanting, but in Kali Yuga, the elevator is going to go higher and faster. And it's going to take you all the way to prema in Vrindavan, in the kind of love the residents of Vrindavan have. Now, didn't the first verse say you get prema? Dormant love for Krishna is awakened. All right. The prema of Vrindavan that the Maha Mantra can give, it's not, you can't get it any, you can't, there's no other store that sells it. There's no other process by which you can get it. No book you can read, no mantra you can chant, no yoga posture you can do, nothing that can get you that prema, that level. So that's the significance of the Maha Mantra. And the other thing Mahaprabhu said, he said, okay, it's Kali Yuga, so if we require prerequisites for people to chant, most people will not qualify unless you're born in a Brahmin family and you've done certain rituals growing up and have taken certain initiations, you wouldn't be qualified to chant. What to do? Well, we have to remove all disqualifications. We'll just give the mantra to anybody. Anybody can do it. Otherwise, in Vedic times, you couldn't just get a mantra. Like, you couldn't go to a store and buy a mantra. You'd have to be qualified. You have to give it from a guru, and you'd have to do some tapasya, and even have to be born in a certain caste. Otherwise, you couldn't do it. So Mahaprabhu said, well, if we want to liberate everyone and we want to give everyone love of Krishna, we can't make that qualification because nobody, very few people would be qualified and we'd be out of business. We wouldn't have many customers. So we won't make any qualification. So this is, I mean, just meditate on this. This is a meditation you should have, we should have every morning before we chant. That I am been given this Maha Mantra without any qualification necessary, which is never before in history done that you get a mantra without qualification. And now it's taking me to a higher position than any mantra has ever taken anyone. Put those two together, it's like, wow. It's like, you know, the homeless people on the street are all getting billion-dollar checks. It doesn't make sense. It's like, wow. You know? So we're all getting a billion-dollar check. You're getting a billion, excuse me, I forgot I was in England, a billion pounds. Well, you're getting a billion-pound check, and you didn't even deserve it. And all you had to do is what? Put your hand out. Could you imagine a homeless person is being given a million-pound check, and the person says, here, just put your hand out, and I'll give it to you. And he says, it's too much trouble to put my hands out. Could you imagine? Prabhu, how's your japa going? It's too much trouble. For the price of 25 million mantras, you can go back to Godhead. Think about it. You know, sometimes we say, if you chant 16 rounds a day and follow the four principles, you can go back to Godhead, and we think, nah, how could that be? But when you add the number of mantras and you think, 25 million, 40 million, you live a longer, 50 million. Don't you think after 50 million mantras, something's about bound to happen, like some purification? Yeah, of course. Because even like the first time you all chanted, something happened. What to speak of 50 million more mantras? So, yeah, something's going to happen. And Prabhupada said you would become Krishna conscious. So with 25, 30, 40 million mantras, it's bound to happen, right? So, if we understand this and we meditate on this and we make an effort to not make offenses, then something amazing is going to happen. We'll become very inspired. Now, any of you have any problems in your spiritual life? Raise your hand if you have any problems. If you've ever had any problems or challenges. Okay. All right, that if you haven't had any problems or challenges, I don't believe you, because every conditioned soul has problems and challenges, right? But if we're chanting properly, those problems and challenges will be reduced. Some of them will be entirely eliminated. Many others will be reduced. So, if we're executing Krishna consciousness year after year after year, and we're facing some consistent, persistent problems year after year, the first place to diagnose the disease is to ask the question, how's your japa? Just recently, I've got some emails from people who had problems. And I wrote them back and I asked a question, how's your japa? Every person wrote back and said, terrible. I said, I think we've diagnosed the problem, right? So that's the first place to look if you're having any challenges in your spiritual life that you just can't seem to conquer, or you feel like, I've been a devotee too long for this. This should not be here. First place to look is your japa. And then you want to think, how is I could ask you, how's your relationship with your husband, your wife, your roommate, you know, how's your relationship? And you could answer, well, it's okay, it's good, it's not good, you know. You can be aware. So we'll ask you the same question, how's your relationship with the Holy Name? When you're chanting japa, what's the Holy Name thinking? Is the Holy Name thinking, this is good, we have a good relationship? Or is the Holy Name thinking, oh my God, like, what is wrong with you? Hare Krishna. What's the Holy Name thinking? You know, hello, you know you're chanting my name, you might want to think of me, just saying, you know. Hare Krishna. Yeah, so people ask, how could we turn our back on Krishna? And I go, well, you know, we're pretty good at doing that for 2 hours every day while we chant japa. And he's right there in his holy name. So if you can if you can turn your back on Krishna during japa, you can turn your back on him anytime. And, you know, that answers that question, how could I ever turn away from Krishna? Well, we're good at it. But so we have to make an effort. And I want to tell you a story. I don't know if I told this story last time, but if I did, it's worth telling again. This story is amazing. It's going to revolutionize your japa. Sri Sri Radha Goloka Kulananda Kija. Okay. This is going to revolutionize your japa. Are you ready?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you want to revolutionize your japa. Okay. If your hand is not raised, you can leave now. So this is real. I had a really interesting experience. After I had my operation, I didn't have enough. I couldn't breathe enough to chant even like a third of a mantra. Hare Krishna. That's all the breath I had. I was like Hare Krishna. I didn't have breath because the operation affected the lungs, and there was fluid in my lungs, and it was a mess. And then, maybe after a few weeks, I started having enough breath. I mean, it was slow. I could barely chant one mantra. But I didn't have much energy to chant. And so I just thought, I had made a vow. I don't know if it's a good vow or not in this situation. But I made a vow that I would never again chant bad rounds. I will not allow myself to chant bad rounds. Okay rounds at worst, but never bad rounds. And so that was, I made a vow. And so sometimes I'd be in the situation and trying to get my rounds done. And you know those situations, you're trying to get your rounds done and you're chanting, but it's like, what's the point? You know, it's like your rounds are as good as not chanting. You ever been there, done that before? You know, it's just not the right time, or you're tired, or you're disturbed, or you can't focus, or you're too hungry, or whatever it is, too busy. So I made this vow. Well, in those situations, I'm not going to chant those rounds, because if I chant them, why even count them? Have you ever done that? Chanted a few bad rounds, just pulled your beads back up. I can't count those. They're so bad. Yeah. So I couldn't chant, like, for a couple of months. I couldn't chant good rounds. I just did. I was like, it was bad. It was bad. The first few months were bad. I couldn't chant. So finally, after 2 months, this is the first time in my life I've never chanted, I started chanting. And I have to admit, those were some bad rounds. Because I wasn't used to chanting, and I still wasn't that strong. It took me like 9 months to recuperate. So still after a few months, I was still, you know, just walking around, you know, I'd get out of breath. Those were really bad rounds. Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, there was about 0.5. It was bad. I wasn't used to chanting, and anyway, for whatever reason, it was bad. But here's the transformational point. This was the first time I could chant in 2 months. I actually couldn't chant. And I could, you know, I could, like, one day I could say the whole mantra. I was like, let's have a festival. I could say the whole mantra. It was like, you know, after 2 months, I could actually, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. I was like, I could chant. Wow. So I was walking and I was chanting these, you know, 0.5 quality rounds. And I was so happy. I said, thank you, Krishna. Rounds are horrible, but at least I'm so happy that I can chant. So I was relishing bad rounds. I think I made a video called Relishing Bad Japa. It was just the fact that I could chant, and I had the Maha Mantra, and I could finally chant again. I was so happy. Thank you, Krishna, for this mantra. You know, and the potential, because I could chant well in the future, potentially. And so I thought, this is so significant that I was relishing bad japa, like the worst rounds probably in 25 years, and I was relishing that I could chant. So I think that's really important. Then I had a realization. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
This is This is important, I think. I realized that all that hackneyed chanting, boring, I want to get my rounds done, robotic, mechanical, all of that can only take place when there's no appreciation. When I don't think, Krishna, you are amazing. You've given me your holy name. It's like, give me love of Krishna. This is like, this is beyond description. This would be like beyond gratitude. This is just amazing. When I forget that, when I don't feel that, that's when Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Hare. Why do I have to do this? That's where it comes from. And you can monitor yourself. Just do an experiment and monitor yourself. When you're bored out of your mind while you're chanting, monitor your level of appreciation on a scale of 1 to 10, and I'm pretty sure it's at 0 or close to it. I'm pretty sure you will discover that. Now, you ever chant your japa and it tastes like sweet rice, strawberry sweet rice over strawberry halva? You ever have that experience? Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Like, it's just sweet, right? What do you think your level of appreciation is at that time? It's probably close to 10, isn't it? So if you can raise your level of appreciation automatically, your experience of chanting is better. And as you raise your level of appreciation and experience, your ability to focus naturally comes, because why wouldn't you want to focus on something that's sweet and relishable? And why do we have so much difficulty focusing? Because how can you focus on something that you don't like doing? It's really difficult, isn't it? You ever like at your job and you're like bored out of your mind, and it's like so hard to focus, isn't it? And so you go on the internet and just distract yourself. So you can try to focus again. So when you relish something, it's easy to focus. It's natural. It's normal. So it's so important to appreciate the holy name, isn't it? First verse of Shishastakam. It's all 7 reasons why to appreciate. Second verse, appreciation. Krishna, as said in this verse, you are in your name. Appreciation. Second verse, but I'm so unfortunate because I don't like chanting. So, the conclusion, or what I'm trying to say, is that based on experience, if we don't make some effort to chant well, we can easily end up in a position where we don't like chanting. Could you imagine Krishna came to you and you said, Krishna, you're cool. You know, I really love your form in halava and sweet rice, but your form in the holy name I have issues with. Would you say that to Krishna? You know, your name is cool, but you know, I don't really like it that much. You know, it kind of puts me to sleep, you know. Makes me want to do other things. Yeah. You couldn't say that. Even if you felt that way, you couldn't say that. That's pretty bad, don't you think? I'm trying to develop a relationship with Krishna, and he's so mercifully come to me in his name. And then I chanted, and I'm like, nah, not really into it. It's not good, especially for the long haul in your spiritual life. It's not good. Turn to the devotee next to you and tell him, that's not good. Hare Krishna. You can have fun in England, right? Is it allowed? I mean, when I walk on the streets and look at people, I think having fun must be illegal. When I look at their face and... yeah. Hare Krishna. So... the best thing that can happen to our japa is for us to deeply understand how essentially important it is for our spiritual life, and how everything we want, we can, in our spiritual life, we can get from the holy name if we just take it properly and like deeply ingrain that so much into your heart and psyche that it becomes impossible to chant bad japa. Wouldn't that be good? Wouldn't it be good if, like, you didn't know how to chant bad japa? I go, Prabhu, show me a bad japa. I go, I don't know how to do it. Just, I want to know what bad japa looks like. I don't know. Ask him. He knows. I don't know how to do it. You know, like, I practiced good japa so long, I forgot. I can't remember what bad japa is like. That is the point we need to come to. Of course, it's going to take practice. As with anything, if you get really good at it through practice, you forget how not to do it well. You don't know how to, you can't do it. Like if you're a good cook, and I go, cook bad, and you're like, how do I do that? Make something taste bad. It's like, what do you mean? Put sugar instead of salt, or burn it, or what? It's so unnatural, right? So that's the point we want to come to, where we work on our japa so much because we know how important it is, and we develop habits that enable us to chant well every day. Then our spiritual life will be like a rocket. So here's a visual. On a scale of 1 to 10, this is 5. So what happens if you go this way forever? What happens? Stay in the same place, more or less. Which is good, because you're not going down. Right? But if you're at 4, then a year from now, you're lower than you were today. And if you don't believe me, especially those of you who are younger devotees, if you don't believe me, ask an older devotee, is it possible your japa was better like 10 years ago than it is today? And they'll say, yeah, sometimes it was. Or they might say, yeah, it was. I was living in the temple in the Brahmacharya Ashram. And now I moved out, and it was actually better then. So it's possible to go down. Yes? Raise your hand if you used to chant better japa. Yeah. It can go down. So that's 4 and 3 and 2 and 1. It just goes down fast. 5, 6 goes up. So if I'm chanting 6 all my life, probably I'll make it back to Krishna. If I'm chanting 7, I'll make it back even if I die young. If I chant 8, I'm getting there fast, but speak of 9 or 10. So I think it's a good visual, don't you? To look at the quality of your japa, because it's, you know, this is scary, but that's more scary. 5, you should be scared of 5, because it's just, you're just, Bhaktivinoda, I'm not making this up. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that if we're chanting and we're not eliminating offenses, we won't go up and we won't go down. We'll just stay in the middle. So, all right, I'm following principles and I'm still a devotee, but are you doing better than you were 10 years ago? Not really. So, yeah, so that's what I wanted to say. And I think that's all I needed to say, and I hope that helps. And if you have any questions, we can take some questions. Hare Krishna. Yes? Oh, I forgot one thing before. Hold your question. This is so beautiful. There's a Vyas Puja. I think there's a Vyas Puja offering. And I don't know who wrote it, and I'm not even sure it's a Vyas Puja, but I'm pretty sure maybe one of you have read it or can find it. The devotee read something like this. He's talking to Prabhupada. He goes, Srila Prabhupada, I just distributed 100 Bhagavad Gitas. Prabhupada's reply, wonderful, but how was your japa? Prabhupada, we just did Rath Yatra, 10 billion people came. Wonderful, but how was your japa? Prabhupada, we just, you know, opened a new temple in such and such a place, you know. Wonderful, but how was your japa? And the whole offering is like this, all the things you could do, and Prabhupada saying, wonderful, but how was your japa? So nice, isn't it? Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj. My question was, what should be the mood when you're doing japa?
The mood is, somehow or other, I've fallen into the material ocean, the ocean of material existence. please pick me up and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. Because I've fallen into material existence, and as I was saying, I cannot get out on my own. It's not possible. So, Krishna, I want to love you, and I want to be situated at your lotus feet eternally. And I'm suffering in this world of birth and death, but I can't get out on my own. I already tried for a million lifetimes, and look at me now. I'm still here, you know. Like they say in coaching, when someone says, well, I'm trying to do this, and the coach says, well, how's that working for you? Because the coach knows it's not working, because you wouldn't be at the coach's office if it were working, you know. So it's like, I'm trying in my spiritual life. Well, how's that working for you? That's why we're here, because it wasn't working for us. So that feeling is, you know that feeling where you want to, like, be better than you are and you don't know how? You know, I wish I wasn't so angry or so impatient or this or that. That's the mood. Krishna, help me, because on my own, I don't know how to do it. Or I don't know how to do it well enough. Or I kind of know how to do it, but I slip. Krishna, please help me. So we're chanting, Hare Krishna, like helpless. I can't, you know. And then the other beautiful, beautiful thought is Krishna loves me, but I don't love him. That's a problem, isn't it? Like, he's giving me everything, and I'm like, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And like, what's that about? He's, you know, no one can love you like Krishna. It's not possible. So he's giving us more love. He's giving us everything. Who's giving you the sun and the light? And nobody can give you the sun, the light, your food, even your parents, your husband, wife, children. He's giving everything. So who could love you more than Krishna? So it's really beautiful when you're chanting to think, Krishna, you love me. Please help me reciprocate with your love, because that's what he wants. He wants reciprocation. Because the relationship doesn't work and perfectly until we love him. So his side's already done. Our side isn't. Hare Krishna, help me love you. Now, what's really important is some devotees have doubts. Does Krishna love me? Right? I don't know if he loves me. Why would he love me? Where's your impetus to reciprocate with Krishna if you don't think he loves you? Maybe he doesn't love me. Maybe he loves Alanat, but not me. Okay, he doesn't love me, so what's the point? What's the point? Now I'm not reciprocating with love because he doesn't love me. So where's my impetus to love him? Why should I love you? You don't even love me. So if you allow yourself to appreciate Krishna's love and not get and not try to analyze why would he love me, that's not for you to analyze. That's, you know, he does. So it's not for us to decide if Krishna loves us. It's for him to decide. You know, so, you know, you tell your son I love you, and he says, nah, I don't think so. What's that all about? Krishna says I love you. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. Right? So you accept Krishna's love, and then you have, now you're chanting like, Krishna, I don't love you, and you love me. That's not good. Please help me love you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Help me become the person you want me to be. Help me become pleasing to you. Help me fill in the blanks. Or just. You know what I feel like when I chant? A lot of times I feel like we have a drain cleaner. It's like a powder. It's called Drano. You must have something.
Yeah.
You have that here?
Yeah.
Drano or something. So your drain is clogged up, usually like with hair, and you pour it and it dissolves it. Sometimes I feel like when I'm chanting, my heart is clogged, and the Maha Mantra is Drano, and it's like I'm drinking Drano. I'm going, Krishna, you know, can you, like, this thing in my heart, you know, it's like getting in the way of my relationship with you. Can you just, like, dissolve it? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So a lot of times, you know, that thing that's in your heart you want dissolved, you can just meditate. Krishna, Dranoize that, you know, dissolve it. Hare Krishna. Then, my dear devotees, then those 2 hours every morning are amazing. You'll wake up at like 1:30. I can't wait. I can't sleep. Why are you up so early? I want to chant japa. Are you crazy? Yes. I love chanting. You know, we were talking yesterday, last night, about, I don't want to get up early. Yeah, well, if you don't like chanting, why would you want to get up if that's the first thing you do in the morning? That's a pretty serious consideration. Think about it. This is the first thing I do in the morning, and I don't like it. How excited will I be to get up? And vice versa. If I like to chant, I'd like to get up. I'll be excited. You know? Jai japa. Right? Now, here's how you know if you like japa or not. Just say the word japa and see how it makes you feel. Japa. If you immediately started going to sleep, that means you have some work to do. And you said japa, it's like, yes, japa. It's my favorite activity. It's next. That's how we should feel. So if you want to know how you feel about anything, just say the word, you know, isn't it? Like, if you don't like Sankirtan and someone says Sankirtan, your first response is like, isn't it? You know, you ever see that movie Vipramukya made years ago? The bhaktas are all falling asleep during class. You know? And then he says, prasadam, and they all wake up. And, you know, so it's, you know, one word, you know, can really tell you where you're at. So you say japa and it's like, and you feel all the energy in your body leaving you. That's, you got relationship issues with your bead bag, you know. I made a video once, a conversation with my bead bag, you know, like talking to my bead bag, bead bag talking back. So, you know, do you have an adversarial relationship with your bead bag? You know? Why do you make me chant so many rounds? Why isn't one enough? Yeah, so something to consider, because this is the main thing. This is the main thing. Okay, yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the stimulating class. Why is it, it seems to be easier and more relishable to chant the Maha Mantra when you're in Kirtan or on Harinam than when you chant Japa?
Yeah.
It's the same holy name, so why is there that?
Good question.
Difference.
Well, first thing I want to say is that it can be as relishable for people who have gone deeply into their japa. They will say it is as relishable, and maybe even more so in specific ways. It's different because japa is just you and Krishna. That's it. Even if you're in the temple room, it's not in unison. It's you and Krishna, so it's very personal and sweet. So I think that's important to recognize. Obviously, in kirtan, you're being picked up by the bhakti of everybody else around you. So you could be not enthused at all. Then you're coming to a temple of enthused people. It's hard not to be enthused, right? And if the kirtan is good, the melody is inspiring you, the deities are there, the social interactions inspire you. It's like Lord Chaitanya's, you could say, it's an ingenious method. Because everybody likes to chant and dance. So we can take advantage of that, for sure. All that sangha and the power of chanting. But I would just like to dangle this carrot in front of you that japa can be has its own equal sweetness, slightly different, but it has its own equal sweetness, but it takes more work. It takes very little work with kirtan. If you just like the melody, that's it. If you like the kirtan leader, if you like the mridanga player, you know, you ever do kirtan with a good mridanga player? It's like, oh my God, that's perfect. The way he's playing, it's just like, it's just makes me want to dance. And Prabhupada said, mridanga player should make you want to dance. That's the purpose of playing the mridanga, is to get you to dance. So yeah, that's the right answer. Japa takes work. Much more work. But it will pay off, for sure. And we're meant to do that work. otherwise. You can't advance while you're making offenses to Krishna. You know, you have a relationship with Krishna in the holy name. So you can't offend the holy name and make advancement. It doesn't work that way. Or its advancement is slow, for sure. If you just remove the offenses, then the holy name opens up. Like Kunti says, Maya Javanika Achanam, you remove the curtain of diluting energy. So it's like a curtain. You know, you make offense, it's like there's... You know what Prabhupada said? He said, offensive chanting is like eating a sweet with tape on your tongue. You can't taste it. As you cover your tongue with tape, you can't taste anything. So the holy name is sweet. Take off the tape off your tongue. You're torturing yourself. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. There's this sweetness. In fact, when you're more advanced in chanting, you can see Krishna. You'll chant and you can see him because he is in his name. And like, I can't see him. We should feel like, oh, this is bad. I can't taste this. This is not good. But the taste is there. It's definitely there. And we should know that. And we should remind ourselves, even when we're not chanting well, that the taste is there. It's just, I've got tape on my tongue. I have to pull that off. And then you'll have sweet, sweet times with the holy name. That's so important for the longevity of your spiritual life. Yes. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu. So one thought that occurred to me was to sort of help myself get in right into the right mood before chanting japa was reading Shikshashtaka.
Yeah.
And that made me think as... And you know, Shikshashtaka, like many other prayers, are prayers we've read so many times. So how can we continue to have appreciation for, you know, when you read the translation for something we've read so many times? Would it be to...
I have an answer.
Okay.
You just have to wait for my recordings to come out. Because I'm singing them in English. And when you sing them in English, it takes you to another dimension of understanding. So try singing them. Your holy name is glorious. Your holy name's victorious. Param Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. Your holy name is glorious. Your holy name's victorious. Your holy name is glorious. Your holy name's victorious. Vijayate Sri Krishna Sankirtanam. All glories to your holy names. All glories to your holy names. Did you start? Oh, you want to hear one, the best one? Just totally shook me up when I first sang it. The second verse. You know, the second verse. Yeah, I was thinking, what's the English translation? Your holy name can render blessings on all living beings. And you have hundreds of names like Krishna and Govinda. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no taste. When I sang that, I was like, oh my God, I've recited that 10 million times. And it's the first time I really felt it. But I'm so unfortunate that I have no taste. You want to sing it? And I'm so unfortunate that I have no taste. I'm so unfortunate that I have no taste. I am so unfortunate that I have no taste.
That I have no taste.
Your holy name.
Holy name.
Yeah. Sing it. Probably some of the some of those must be online because we did it in Haveli last month. Yeah. Okay, I have to say something because he asked this. It's very interesting. We understand things with our head, but we can also understand things with our heart. So usually when we're reading, we're intellectualizing, but you can also read to feel. So you can read Sishastakam. Instead of trying to understand with your head, what's the feeling here? And just because that's what happens when you sing, your heart opens when you sing, so you feel it. But you could even feel it by reading, but you have to go in that state. So what's the feeling here of Shishastakam? I'm so unfortunate, I have no taste. Because what? I make offenses. So, you know, if you get the feeling, it shakes you up. And something can happen. Something can change. Yeah. Hmm. First verse is appreciation. Second verse is appreciation. And the third verse, when I sang the third verse, that was like, I was like, wait a minute. Okay. So, feeling lower than a blade of grass, more tolerant than a tree, wanting no respect for others, giving all respect to others, wanting no respect for me, then I can chant your holy name constantly. So we're singing, I can chant your holy name. And I was like, wait a minute. That's why I don't like to chant, because I'm not humble. Because it says Mahaprabhu says I can chant constantly. So I'm singing, chant your holy name, chant constantly. And I'm like, oh, I don't like chanting constantly. That means I'm not humble. I've got some work to do. That means I don't like praising everyone. I like being praised myself. Yes? I mean, I don't mind praising others as long as I get some also. And then think about this one. I'm chanting, right? And I'm thinking, well, maybe if I chant, people will appreciate me. So who am I glorifying now? Am I glorifying Krishna by my chanting, or am I glorifying myself? And I'm wondering why I don't have a taste for chanting. Well, it's right there in the third verse. You can chant constantly if you're ready to respect and honor everyone and not want it for yourself and be tolerant. So I don't think necessarily you always have to sing it, but if you try to feel it while you're reading, what's the feeling here? Then maybe you'll... I got it by singing it. It was like every time I sang, it was like, wow. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Yes.
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. Can I ask a question?
Where are you? Yeah, yeah.
It's okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Maharaj, you did not touch on this point. That's why I wanted to ask a question.
Yeah, please.
Like, I've heard previously that if you chant nicely, yeah, you get lots of service. Is that correct?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
I decided this morning when I woke up, I thought, I have so much service today, I decided not to chant japa, because if I get more service, I'll have a nervous breakdown.
No, my question is that.
Yeah, so no, it's not like that. It's not like that. I mean, will you get more service? And you already have too much, right?
No, I'm not chanting, and I get calls, and I already get service for the whole day. So I've not chanted a single round.
Oh.
So how can I understand that?
Well, I guess you're extremely anxious for service, or everyone else in this temple is not. But this is the thing. When we're chanting and for service, we're chanting to have the mentality of a servant. We're praying for the mentality of a servant, because one would naturally, like he's thinking, why I can't chant because I have too much service. I'll get more service. Only 24 hours in a day. It's the chanting to be in the mood of a servant. To have the mentality, not of the enjoyer, but of the servant. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, please help me have the ego of a servant, because right now I have the ego of a master. So that's another way, another thing you can pray for when you chant. Let me have the ego of a servant, because I am a servant. I'm not a master. I'm not an enjoyer, but I think I am. Right? Don't I? A little enjoyer? Let me have the bhav, the emotion, the mentality that I am das, das, anudas. We're praying for that. So that's the idea. And then delegate some of your service and turn off your phone in the morning. with a little message on your phone that says, right now I'm chanting Hare Krishna. If you need anything, I will talk to you after breakfast. Hare Krishna. We have a little button. I don't know, do we have still have those buttons? It says, when I chant, I chant. We have buttons. It says, when I chant, I chant. You put them on your bead bag. So when someone tries to talk to you while you're chanting japa, you hold up your bead bag and it says, when I chant, I chant. It's a very polite way of not having to talk to them. Yeah. Hare Krishna. Oh, here it is. On sale today for £1 while they last. When I chant, I chant. There'll be a table out there, you can get them. Yeah. We made these for one japa retreat. And then everyone would see it on my bead bag, and they go, where can I get it? And I'm like, I don't know, it was given to me. But now we made them. So it's your lucky day. Do we have a t-shirt that says this?
We have t-shirts as well, we have japa.
Do we have a t-shirt that says when I chant? We have a t-shirt also, if you really want to make a statement. And wear the t-shirt. Solved his problem. Okay. Yeah. We have an announcement from...
Maybe, yeah, one more thing to share as well, because I was at the japa retreat. I got that privilege of being in the japa retreat, and it was so good that just the appreciation exercise put my japa from like maybe a 5.5 to like an 8.
Whoa.
And it was, yeah, it was whoa. It was like being on a quick elevator. It was like better than being in a Universal Studios roller coaster. Like it was that good. And so I was thinking afterwards, how can I maintain that even if I'm back at the temple and things like that. And so I was thinking that exercise about the therapy for Krishna. You know, you remember that exercise?
The exercise?
Therapy with Krishna?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So Krish- that, yeah. You go into therapy with Krishna and he starts telling you what he doesn't like about your japa. Oh, no, we got some issues with your japa. What would Krishna tell you? Yeah.
Yeah. And so I was reflecting on that because it was a funny exercise, but it was so true that Krishna is actually a person. I could personify that. Yeah. And when I continued that appreciation day after day, week after week, japa was so good to the point where all the problems that I thought I had or was going through was like so small. Mm. Like last night I was driving here and then I got a message about something and someone told me about some other thing and I'm... You know, it could have clouded my head, but just the good japa this morning, afterwards it was so clear that this is actually nothing, or it could be solved this way, or actually here's where I'm coming wrong, etc. And even going out on Sankirtan, it's like I'm saying the right thing to the right time, and somehow or another this person is coming to me at this right circumstance, and it's magical. And so I was thinking, how can I also share this with others? Because the point that someone was mentioning was kirtan. When we do that, we're carried by the bhakti of others. But then how can we be carried off the bhakti of those who have been practicing like yourself for 55 plus years? Or Srila Prabhupada, just by being in his rooms this morning and chanting, that was like, you know, being carried up to a 9 even. So that's why when you said, I don't know, I was like, I don't know, like that was too good. So one thing that helped me was your japa affirmations. That was like magical. Because I was like, I am riding off of the shoulders of my Guru Maharaj. And I'm not saying this for promotional reasons, I'm saying this for actual reasons. And I think Krishna says to me, because I was looking for your poster and it's not here. So this is a test of authenticity, but here's what you do have. These japa affirmations are your 55 plus years of realizations. And you can have any, some, or all. And you can pretty much pick any japa affirmation and then look at the back. And then you have something to meditate on. Because I don't have anything to appreciate except for the halava in the morning. Especially if it's with like dark chocolate and peanut butter. But then these... japa affirmations can be so much better than that, that you have to also renounce the sweets in the morning, and that's what I did. Much less sweets, can you imagine? Not even the sweets that you gave me. So you can have that, but also there's japa affirmations.
What, the first 10 people to buy gets Mahaprasadam?
That's what I was going to say, yes. So if you guys want, you get... So that's instant japa. So one, it's japa affirmations, but then you get Maharaja's Maha, and that's like, you know, japa 15 out of 10, you know? That's like so good. So we have that, and then we have japa affirmations 1, and we have japa affirmations 2.0. So you have 20 japa affirmations with realizations you can meditate on every single morning, and that'll make japa so good. And if you also need another reminder, you guys want to hear this? Yeah? I thought, because I was looking at it, and I was thinking, actually, this is great. I need one. because I wear orange shirts every day. Hold on. Oh, yeah. So then if your job is, like, so bad, and you're like, what am I going to do? You wear this as a pajama, and you wake up in the morning, and then you remind yourself, if Maya comes, run. Isn't it an amazing shirt? It suits you. You've got a red jacket. You need it. Yeah, that's right. Okay, so this is it. If Maya comes, run. Right? And then also, we have other ones that says, if your job is like so bad, it's like, oh, what am I going to do? I need to go to therapy. And then you don't need to be perfect. You just need to be sincere. So this is just perfect. And you can get Maharaja's Maha and a shirt and a signature. And it's all for a very, very cheap price. And even cheaper if you come first. Even cheaper if you buy many things together. And this is something that I... Two for one.
I have to warn you, no one walks by him without buying something. So, so when you walk by, if you walk slow, you're finished.
Yeah. And if you get extra, you get cheaper stuff. I can't promote this, but there's also marriage affirmations. And that'll like really help as well. Yeah. So, just saying. The more, the cheaper you get. Hare Krishna.
Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gopi Manandi.